إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our fourth session from the book Jaa Shahr Ramadan. Yani the month of Ramadan has arrived, by Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr, Hafidhum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. And in the previous discussions, just briefly, as a reminder, particularly for anyone who may not have been with us in the previous sessions, and we talked about the importance of these gatherings for learning, when people gather together in the masajid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to gain the great benefits of knowledge, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors those who make the effort, who strive and struggle and sacrifice and are patient with going out to the masajid and sitting for the purpose of acquiring the knowledge of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We also talked about, yani the Shaykh mentioned from amongst the 6 points after the introduction to the topic of Ramadan and the importance of Ramadan, and Ramadan being like a guest that comes for whom we are required to show great hospitality, yani in preparing for that guest and then hosting them. The Shaykh said that he wanted to concentrate on 6 points, and he talked about, yani again, the different type of people in reference to Ramadan, how they receive it, how they prepare for it, and he mentioned 4 groups of people, and perhaps yani we remember some of those groups. Some people prepare for Ramadan by buying a lot of food, yani collecting, accumulating food to eat during the month of Ramadan. Other people prepare for Ramadan by collecting, gathering instruments of amusement, entertainment and recreation. And other people, they prepare for Ramadan. They don't prepare at all. Some people, they don't prepare for Ramadan at all. Meaning, Ramadan comes and goes like any other month, like any other time of the year. And they don't make any distinction between Ramadan and other times. It's all the same to them. They get no benefit whatsoever from it. And the fourth group, which he mentioned third, are the best group. Those who actually prepare for Ramadan. Yani they make a plan and they make preparation to benefit from Ramadan, yani to utilize their time in the things that will earn the pleasure of Allah and His reward. That is, spending it in worship, in salat, and yani in fasting, and in reading the Quran, and learning, and sitting in the gatherings of knowledge, and charity, and so on. Yani they plan, they make a plan, and they prepare themselves to execute that plan, to utilize the brief, yani the fleeting days of Ramadan, in that which would be best for them, that would earn the pleasure of Allah and nearness to Him. Last week we specifically talked about, from amongst the points that we talked about last week, was the tawbah, that Ramadan being, yani preparing for Ramadan with tawbah, yani by repenting, and that repentance should be ongoing, constant, that a person is constantly engaged in repentance. And as the Shaykh mentioned, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, kulli bani adam khatta'un wa khayru khatta'in at-tawwabun, that all of the human beings are sinners. But the best of those who are sinners are those who repent constantly, continuously, frequently to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we said that the repentance, the scholars of Islam say that repentance has three conditions, and the Shaykh also mentioned a fourth. Those three conditions are number one, An-nadama ala fa'il al-dhunub. That a person has remorse, regret for having committed sins. Naam, and after that, also from the conditions, huh? That they make resolve not to return back to that sin. Yani firm resolve not to go back to the sin that one is repenting from. Now, and also, al-ikla', na'am. Yani that a person leave off, abandon, stop doing whatever it is that they're doing. Yani a person has to stop the sin in order to repent from it. They have to stop it and feel remorse for it and make firm resolve not to go back to it. And the Shaykh said some of the scholars added a fourth condition, and that is in reference to those who have violated the rights of the human beings. Yani the one who has taken someone's property or violated some of their rights, that they have to rectify that with them, or to at least ask them, and to free them from blame, that is to pardon them. Tonight, we want to concentrate primarily, and last week we also talked about guarding the fast, yani guarding the fast by engaging during the time of fasting, during the days and nights of fasting, and those things that are pleasing to Allah, and the best of those things that a person can engage in, yani the best of those who fast, and the best of those who make hajj, and the best of those who give charity are those who engage constantly in the dhikr of Allah. We talked about that, yani guarding the fast, preserving the fast, by engaging in deeds of worship, acts of obedience, and especially the remembrance of Allah. And we also talked about yani trying to realize that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the hadith, in which he said, "Man sama Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaban, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi." That is, that a person will be forgiven their previous sins if they fast the month of Ramadan with these two conditions being fulfilled. That is al-iman and ihtisab. And we're going to talk about this a little bit more today in our discussion dealing with the topic of taqwa. But yani the Shaykh, he mentioned the hadith last week. Yani the importance of iman and ihtisab, al-iman and ihtisab, having belief, faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, belief that He has made it obligatory upon us, and believing in the promise, yani iman, having faith in the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of His reward for those who believe in Him and who obey Him. And al-ihtisab, we said, it is that a person has expectation and anticipation and hope of the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with that brief summary of some of the topics that we discussed in the past, since we don't have a study guide for the Ramadan, we just want to kind of refresh our memories on some of the things that we talked about. Tonight we want to talk mainly about at-taqwa. And the meaning of at-taqwa, in brief, the meaning of at-taqwa, and how to achieve at-taqwa through fasting. And how does one achieve at-taqwa through fasting? And in the end of this discussion, the Shaykh also talked about the importance of yani giving attention to the Quran in this month of Ramadan, in which the Quran was revealed. So yani to proceed where we left off last week, I didn't make a note of the page in the English translation, but in the Arabic text of the book, yani we're reading from page 24 to the end of the book, inshallah, from page 24. And I guess in English it should be somewhere around there. And the topic of the attainment of taqwa, the achievement of a taqwa. First, in case I might forget, let me just announce or remind us that of the importance of these days and these nights, especially that we're living in right now, that is the last 10 days of Ramadan and the last 10 nights of Ramadan, and last night was the first odd night. The first night and the first odd night of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And I would like to talk about the importance of these last 10 nights of Ramadan, specifically Laylatul Qadr. But yani, hopefully I'll try to save it until the end if we have time. In case I forget, I just want to say now that these are very important nights. Within these nights is the night of Qadr, and we know yani, the magnificence and the significance of Laylatul Qadr and its importance. And no one should take this matter lightly and allow these days to pass us by. All of them, especially the odd nights from these last 10 nights of this month of Ramadan. And probably most of us will agree that it seemed like it was just yesterday that we started this discussion. It seemed like it was just a few days ago, and already we are in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, and the month is about to pass away. And whoever hasn't taken advantage of what has passed, then don't let that which remains also escape. But we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us and to grant us tawfiq, taking advantage of these days and these nights to engage in that which is pleasing to Him and earns His reward and nearness to Him. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. So the Shaykh, he says concerning this topic, which is the fifth of the 6 points that he mentioned that he wanted to highlight in this discussion, that is the attainment of a taqwa. ثم إن من الأمور المهمة التي ينبغي أن نعتني بها في شهر رمضان أن نقتصب منه وفيه ومن خلاله تقوى الله جل وعلا. Then he said, indeed, from the important affairs which it is incumbent upon us to give care to them, from those important affairs in this month of Ramadan is that we seek to achieve from it and in it and during this month taqwa of Allah, that we seek to achieve, to earn, to acquire taqwa of Allah jalla wa ala. Wa hadha min ahammu, hadha min ahammi ma shuriya as-siyamu li ajlihi. And this, the attainment or the achievement of taqwa of Allah, is from the most important of the things for which Ramadan or the fast of Ramadan has been legislated, yani for its purpose. Yani the fast of Ramadan has many objectives and purposes, but min ahammi ma shuriya siyam li ajlihi is yani the achievement of a taqwa. Yani if a person achieves a taqwa, then indeed they have achieved a great achievement. And whoever has failed to achieve a taqwa during this fast of Ramadan, then perhaps they have failed, yani a miserable failure. This importance of the achievement of a taqwa is mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His saying in Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 183rd ayat. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا. O you who believe, O you who believe. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing this ayat and similar ayats like this to show the utmost importance of the affair. He is addressing it to those who are capable of complying with it. That is the people of Iman. O you who believe. كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. That as-siyam, fasting, has been prescribed for you. It has been made obligatory upon you. Qutiba, yani bima'na furida. Yani fasting in this month of Ramadan has been made fard, obligatory upon you, just as it has been made obligatory upon those before you. Meaning, similarly, kama, similarly, as fasting has been made obligatory on the nations before us. Maybe not exactly in the same manner, but fasting has also been made obligatory yani upon the previous nations. And some of the scholars said, yani this was a means of comfort for the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to know that fasting is not something that Allah placed as a burden upon you. Rather, it is something that He prescribed for all the nations before. All the people before, they were given this obligation. Even though yani the perfection of the fast came with the perfection of the law of Allah and the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with the revelation of the Quran. So all you who believe, fasting has been prescribed, yani has been made obligatory upon you as it was made obligatory in the nations before you, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that you may attain التَّقْوَى. And لَعَلَّ here, from those who are studying Arabic, we know that لَعَلَّ linguistically in Arabic has two meanings, al-ishfaq and التَّرَجِّي. And here the meaning is التَّرَجِّي, yani that there is hope. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. If a person fasts in Ramadan, yani the purpose of the fasting being made has been made obligatory upon us is with hope that we will, through the fast, achieve التَّقْوَى. And there is no doubt that the person who fasts in the way it has been prescribed according to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ with sincerity and giving it its proper due, then they will achieve some degree of taqwa. Some might achieve a greater degree than others. Yani this ayat is a clear proof that the main primary purpose, goal of the obligation of the fast of Ramadan is to achieve, among other things, the most important of them being at-taqwa. The Shaykh, he says, فَبِالصِّيَامِ وَأَدَاءِ هَذِي الْعِبَادَةِ يَسْلُكُ الْمُسْلِمُ مَسْلَكًا عَظِيمًا. فَبِالصِّيَامِ, it is through fasting, by means of fasting and the fulfillment of this ibadah, this great act of worship. It is through fasting and the fulfillment of this great act of worship that the Muslim, yasluku al-Muslim maslakan aziman, the Muslim travels a tremendous, magnificent path. Through fasting, you are on a road, a maslak azim, yani a magnificent, tremendous path you have taken through fasting. And fasting is taking you along the road. وَالسَّبِيلًا مُبَارَكًا. وَاللَّهُ مُسْتَعَانَ. I'm struggling to be heard because I don't have half of my voice. Yani it is through fasting and this great worship that the Muslim takes a path, a magnificent path, a blessed way. يؤدي به إلى تقوى الله جل وعلا. A path and a way that will lead the person who travels it, will lead him by means of fasting. By means of fasting, it will lead him to the taqwa of Allah, the Majestic, the Most High. Yani by means of fasting and the fulfillment of this act of worship, a person takes a path that through fasting will lead him to the taqwa of Allah. فالصيام فرصة لك لتتزود من زاد التقوى ولتكون من المتقين. So fasting is an opportunity. It's an opportunity for you to pile up the provisions of taqwa, and to become from amongst the people of taqwa. Through fasting, you will accumulate provisions for a journey. Yani we are on a journey through this world, a journey to meet our Lord, a journey to the next life. Huh? And this journey requires provisions. This journey requires provisions. And the best of provisions for this journey is the provisions of taqwa. So fasting during this month of Ramadan gives us an opportunity to accumulate these provisions of taqwa, and it gives us an opportunity to become the people from the people of taqwa. To become from the people of taqwa. Yani to take on the characteristic of a taqwa so that we will be from the mutaqeen. What an opportunity. What a great loss for the one who doesn't realize this opportunity. What a great loss. Yani, how can a person go on a journey without provisions? How can a person travel through this world on a journey to meet their Lord without provisions? And the best of provisions, yani, is a taqwa. The Shaykh here, he mentions the definition, a definition of a taqwa, a tremendous definition that has been mentioned by many of the scholars. And we have mentioned it previously in other discussions and under other topics. So perhaps some of us have memorized this definition. And whoever hasn't memorized it is worth memorizing, because it's that important to know what is a taqwa. Especially if you know, yani, the end result, the reward for the people of taqwa. Yani, what Allah has promised for the people of taqwa. If we know how important is a taqwa, then it is incumbent upon us to understand, yani, what is a taqwa, to know its definition and to understand it so that we can hopefully, yani, strive to achieve it. The Shaykh says a taqwa here, and by the way, this definition of taqwa, it is the definition of the Tabi'i, al-Mashhur, the famous scholar from amongst the second generation of the Muslims, Talq ibn Habib, rahimahullah, rahmatan wasiya. He said that a taqwa, when he was asked, what is a taqwa? He said, هي أن تعمل بطاعة الله على نور من الله ترجو ثواب الله وأن تترك معصية الله على نور من الله تخاف عقاب الله. يعني this definition is in two parts. يعني the first part, أن تعمل بطاعة الله, that a person do acts of obedience to Allah. على نور من الله, based on a light from Allah, yani knowledge and guidance from Allah and believing in Allah. Taraju thawab Allah, hoping for the reward of Allah. This is the first part of the definition, that a person does acts of obedience to Allah based upon a light from Allah, yani knowledge and guidance from Allah and iman in Allah. Yani that iman that's in the heart of the believer that moves them to act, yani to act upon those things that are pleasing to Allah. Tarju thawab Allah, hoping for the reward of Allah. This first part has three parts. Doing acts of obedience based on a light from Allah, hoping for the reward of Allah. And the second part also has three parts. Yani wa an tatruka ma'asiyat Allah, to abandon acts of disobedience to Allah. Ala nurin min Allah, based on a light from Allah, knowledge of what is disobedience to Allah, believing in Allah and therefore wanting to abandon it. تَخَافُ عِقَابَ اللَّهِ, fearing the punishment of Allah. So in the first part there is doing acts of obedience of Allah, and in the second part there is abandoning acts of disobedience to Allah. And in both of them there is, yani, the doing of the good deeds or abandoning of sinful deeds is, yani, based on a light from Allah, based upon knowledge and guidance from Allah, and, yani, being motivated by iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the goal of doing the acts of obedience based on the light from Allah is with hope of achieving the reward of Allah and abandoning acts of disobedience to Allah based upon a light from Allah due to one's iman. A person is able to abandon, yani, the motivating factor that enables one to abandon acts of disobedience is iman. It's only the people of iman that can do the things that are pleasing to Allah, that are, yani, what Allah has commanded us with. It's only the people of iman, and that's why in many ayats in the Quran Allah says, "Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu." These are the people of iman who are able to comply with Allah's commands and to abandon those things that He has prohibited. This is the definition that the Shaykh mentions. And I just want to share, yani, an explanation of this definition that we mentioned in the explanation of Shajaratul Iman by Shaykh Abdurrahman As-Sa'di. In his book Shajaratul Iman, yani, we mentioned, yani, from the notes on that book, an explanation or a commentary on this definition of a taqwa. And this commentary is from Al-Hafidh Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, the student of Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, in commenting on this definition, Al-Allama ibn Qayyim rahimahullah says, وَهَذَا مِنْ أَحْسَنْ مَا قِيلَ فِي حَدْ التَّقْوَى. Yani this is from the best of what has been mentioned concerning the definition of a taqwa. Yani there are a lot of definitions the scholars have given of taqwa. Ibn Qayyim said this is from the best of them. This definition of Talq ibn Habib. فَإِنَّ كُلُّ عَمَلٍ لَابُدَّ لَهُ مِنْ مَبْدَأُ وَغَايَةٍ. For indeed every action must have, yani of necessity, it must have a mabda, yani that where it starts from, that where it begins from, that which it is based upon, the thing that motivates or moves a person to do that action, that's the mabda. And it must also have a ghaya, yani a hadaf, a goal, an objective that the person who does it is hoping to achieve. Ibn Qayyim says every deed must have a mabda, a base that is its point of starting, that is its motivation, its moving force, its impetus, and it must also have a ghaya, an objective or a goal. فَلَا يَكُونَ الْعَمُلْ طَاعَةً وَقُرْبَةً حَتَّى يَكُونُ مَصْدَرُهُ عَنَ الْإِيمَانِ فَيَكُونَ الْبَعْثَ عَلَيْهُ الْإِيمَانَ الْمَحْضَرُ. Yani Ibn Qayyim says, for indeed, yani every deed must have a mabda and a ghaya. So no deed will be considered an act of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or a means of nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until its masdar, yani its mabda, its point of starting is from iman. Yani the impetus, the moving, the motivating force has to be iman. Rather, we know that from the conditions of any deed to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there has to be ikhlas and there has to be mutaba, and that ikhlas is because of iman. And if a person is not a believer, Allah doesn't accept their deeds, in addition to them having to be done according to the sunnah. In any case, he said what? That it will not be considered an act of ta'a. Yani it will not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as an act of ta'a, nor as an act of qurba, yani a means of nearness to Allah, and hatta yakunu masdaruhu, except that its base, its starting point is from iman. So that the thing that moves the person to act, it is pure iman. La ada, not just because it's the habit or custom of the people. Wala hawa, not just out of desire because they want to do it. Wala talab al mahmada, not because the person is seeking to be praised or jah, or seeking to be recognized as being yani some person of importance or other than that. This can't be the motivating fact. بَلْ لَابُدَّ أَنْ يَكُونُ مَبْدَعُهُ مَحْضَ الْإِيمَانِ. But of necessity, the mabda, yani the masdar, the point of starting, must be pure iman. And the ghaya, yani the goal or the objective, it is the ثَوَابُ اللَّهِ وَإِبْتِغَى مَرْضَاتِهِ. Yani the ghaya, the goal or the objective, must be seeking the reward of Allah and seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what is known as al-ihtisab. And we mentioned this last week, the hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a person's previous sins will be forgiven if they fast with iman and ihtisab. We come back to these two points, al-iman and al-ihtisab. Ibn Qayyim says that the ghaya, it is seeking the reward of Allah and seeking His good pleasure. And this is what we mean by ihtisab. وَلِهَذَا كَثِيرٌ مَا يُقْرَنُ بَيْنَ هَذَيْنِ الْأَصْلَيْنِ. And for this reason, very often it happens frequently that these two fundamental principles are joined together. That is al-iman wal-ihtisab. مَنْ صَامَ رَمَضَانَ مَنْ قَامَ رَمَضَانَ مَنْ قَامَ لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. Yani in each of these hadith, the Prophet said, whoever did these things, imanan wa ihtisaban, with iman and ihtisab, joining these two things together. And likewise, yani, so the Shaykh mentions that in the hadith, whoever fasts Ramadan with iman and ihtisab, and whoever stands Laylatul Qadr, the night of Qadr, with iman and ihtisab, and the other hadith that are similar to this. So here the Shaykh is saying, making clear to us, that yani Al-Allama Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah is making clear to us in reference to this definition of taqwa, that it is based upon these two fundamental principles, al-iman and ihtisab. Al-iman and ihtisab. How so? He says in the saying of Talq ibn Habib, ala nurin min Allah, that a person does an act of obedience, ala nurin min Allah, this is an indication, ishara, إلى الأصل الأول, to the first fundamental, and that is الإيمان. يعني that the person does the act of obedience based on a light from Allah, this is an indication of the first fundamental principle, that is الإيمان. الذي هو مصدر العمل, it is the source, the مصدر, the مبدأ of the deed, and it is السبب الباعث عليه, it is the cause, the motivating force that causes a person to do that deed of obedience. And what is taqwa? It is doing an act of obedience to Allah based upon iman, a light from Allah. That's the source, that's the motivating factor. And he's saying, tarju thawab Allah, seeking the reward of Allah, this is an ishara, ila al-asl al-thani, this is an indication pointing to the second fundamental. And he's seeking reward of Allah, it points to what? Al-ihtisab. The two fundamentals are what? Al-Iman and Ihtisab. And this saying is pointing to the second fundamental, that is Al-Ihtisab. وَهُوَ الْغَايَةِ. And this Ihtisab, yani seeking the reward of Allah, is the Ghaya, it's the goal. Yani it's the goal due to which this action occurs, seeking this goal. It is for this, this is the goal that is intended to be achieved by this action. Yani the reward of Allah, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani I mentioned this commentary of Allama ibn Qayyim rahimahullah to bring to our attention yani the connection between the definition of at-taqwa and these two fundamental principles, al-iman and ihtisab, and how important they are. Last week we mentioned that these are two very important principles, especially yani the one that is neglected by most people is ihtisab. Most people, they might do some good deeds without being conscious of yani the need to have ihtisab, that is the expectation, the anticipation, and the hope of the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here the Shaykh, he says, that is Shaykh Abdul Razak, he says, after mentioning this definition of at-taqwa, and at-taqwa being the primary goal or objective that one intends to achieve by fasting. So what is at-taqwa? It is doing a deed of obedience to Allah based upon iman from Allah, hoping for the reward of Allah, or abandoning an act of disobedience to Allah based on iman. Yani the thing that motivates you to abandon this act of disobedience, it is iman. And the goal that you hope to achieve is to avoid the punishment of Allah. So the Shaykh, he says, وَلْنَقِفْ قَلِيلًا لِنَتَأَمَّلْ كيف أن الصيام يحقق للعبد التقوى. يعني let us stop for a moment and reflect on how fasting enables the worshipper to achieve التقوى. How is it that fasting is a means, it's a path, it's a road that enables a person to achieve التقوى? Because يعني we are fasting all the time, yani in Ramadan and out of Ramadan, and we should be yani conscious of how is this yani taqwa supposed to be achieved by fasting. So the Shaykh says, how yani, let us reflect on how it is that fasting enables the abd, the worshipper, to achieve a taqwa and to pile up or to accumulate during this fast the provisions of a taqwa, yani the provisions for the journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Muslim, he says, على مدار العام وطول السنة اعتاد في النهار على أمور ألفها اعتاد يعني. The Muslim, year around and throughout the year, has become accustomed in the daytime to certain matters, certain affairs that he got used to or she got used to. اعتاد على تناول الطعام الإفطار طعام الإفطار في الصباح واعتاد على تناول طعام الغداء. Instead of غذاء it should be غداء with دال instead of ذال. يعني that the Muslim became accustomed throughout their days of the year to taking ta'am al-iftar, breakfast, in the morning, most people. And they became accustomed to taking lunch in the afternoon. وَإِتَادَ عَلَىٰ أَنْوَىٰ مِنَ الْمَشْرُوبَاتِ And they became accustomed to having different types of drinks, maybe coffee, tea, juice, water, soda, whatever, throughout the day, drinking as you like, right? As long as you have a few dollars in your pocket. Became accustomed to this. فَأَصْبَحَتْ فِي يَوْمِهِ أَوْ فِي أَيَّامِهِ أَمْرًا مُعْتَادًا مَعْلُوفًا So this became يعني, a habit, a custom, يعني, became your norm throughout the day that you eat and drink at certain times of the day at will. لَكِنَّ هَذِهِ الْمَعْلُوفَاتِ الَّتِي اَعْتَادَهَا مَا إِنْ يَدْخُلَ عَلَيْهِ شَهْرُ رَمَضَانِ إِلَّا يَتْرُكُهَا مَا أَنَّهُ مُعْتَادٌ عَلَيْهَا وَقَدْ أَلَّفَهَا تمام الإلف لكنه يتركها ويمتنع منها تمام الامتناع لا لشيء إلا لنيل ثواب الله تبارك وتعالى And the Sheikh says, the people became accustomed to this eating and drinking throughout the day. Most of us, na'am, most of us. However, these things that we became accustomed to, that became our habits, It is merely the entry of the month of Ramadan and we abandon them even though we have become accustomed to them. Yani it became habitual. Yani they became our yani habits that we always did. But we leave them and we refrain from them with complete abstinence for no other reason except to achieve the reward of Allah تبارك وتعالى وهذه هي التقوى and this is taqwa يعني that a person abstains from something refrains from something holds back from something even though they became accustomed to it all the time but they refrain from it and they abstain from it for no other reason not because it would harm them Not because yani, they weren't able to have it, but simply because yani, Allah prohibited it during this certain time, and in order to achieve His reward, a person abandons it and gives it up. And here, the Shaykh is referring to the ghaya. Yani, what is the objective? The objective is to earn the reward of Allah. Yani, a person abstains from eating and drinking during the daylight hours during Ramadan, from those lawful things, in order to achieve the reward of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And this is one of the two sides of a taqwa. Yani that a person does something which Allah has commanded or they avoid something that Allah has prohibited. So we find that the fasting person abstains from eating and from drinking the eating, the food and the drink that is in front of them. Even though they are alone, they are in isolation, there's nobody there. And nobody can see them from amongst the people. But they abstain from it while they're fasting in the month of Ramadan, during the daylight hours, from dawn until sunset. And they do this as an act of obedience to Allah Ta'ala. And this is done as an act of obedience. This obedience to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, this is doing an act of obedience because of yani one's iman and hoping for the reward of Allah. This is exactly what we mean by a taqwa. So this is what happens to the Muslim during the daylight hours of Ramadan. And this which is happening every day during the daytime hours, يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يُنَمِّيهَا or يُنَمِّيهِ فِي حَيَاتِهِ كُلِّهَا It is incumbent upon us to increase, to cause this to grow and to increase during the whole of our lifetime. Yani, if we are achieving a certain consciousness by consciously abstaining from that which is lawful during the daylight hours in Ramadan in as an act of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hoping for His reward, this is something that we should be working on all the time, not just in Ramadan, but throughout our life. With every act of obedience that Allah has commanded us with, and with every affair that Allah has prohibited us from, yani, we should be seeking to consciously increase, to grow and to develop a taqwa. So, O you, anta alladhi imtana'ata fi nihar Ramadan an at-ta'am wash-sharab ta'atan lillahi, yanbaghi alayka an tamtani' an kulli amrin harramahu Allah alayka fi kulli waqtin wa heen. So here the Shaykh is saying to us, O you who have refrained or abstained during the daylight hours in Ramadan from food and drink, abstain from these things as an act of obedience to Allah. It is incumbent upon you to abstain from every matter that Allah has made prohibited upon you at all times. Fi kulli waqtin wahin. And at every time, in every situation. فَرَبُّ رَمَضَانُ هُوَ رَبُّ شَهْرُ كُلِّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Indeed, the Lord of Ramadan, yani the one that you are abstaining from lawful things in obedience to Him, He is the Rabb of all the months. He is the Rabb of all the months. He is not just to be obeyed. His pleasure is not just sought in Ramadan. Rather, we should be seeking nearness to Him and His pleasure in every month, throughout the year, throughout our lives. فَوَالَّذِي يَجِبُ أَنْ يُطَعَ فِي رَمَضَانِ يَجِبُ أَنْ يُطَعَ فِي كُلِّ وَقْتٍ. Indeed, the one, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whom it is obligatory to obey Him in Ramadan, He is the same one that it is obligatory to obey at all times. فَإِذَا كُنْتَ مَلَكْتَ نَفْسَكَ وَحَبَسْتَهَا عَنْ مَأْسِيَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَتَرَكْتَ مَعْلُوفَاتِكَ وَالْأُمُورَ الَّتِي اعتدتها طَاعَةً لِلَّهِ جَلَّ وَعَالَى فِي النَّهَارِ رَمَضَانِ يَنْبَغِي عَلَيْكَ أَنْ تُؤَوِّذَ نَفْسَكَ عَلَى الْقِيَامِ بِهَذَا الْأَمْرِ فِي كُلِّ وَقْتٍ وَحِينٍ. So if you were controlling your nafs, controlling yourself and restraining yourself from disobedience to Allah, and you have given up those things which you became accustomed to as an act of obedience to Allah in Ramadan, in the daytime during Ramadan, if you have been able to abstain and refrain and control yourself from lawful things, just because Allah has commanded us to abstain from them during those hours, then it is incumbent upon you to accustom yourself and to train yourself to fulfill, to act upon this matter at all times. If we learned how to abstain from that which is lawful in Ramadan, how is it then that we cannot train ourselves to abstain from what Allah has prohibited in other times? And if we abstain from the lawful, how much more so should we make the effort to abstain from that which is outright haram? Indeed, al-imtina an al-ta'am wa-sharab wa-sa'il al-mufattirat mahalluhu shahr Ramadan, wujubuhu min tulu'i al-fajr ila ghurub al-shams. Indeed, abstinence from food and drink and from the other things that invalidate the fast, the place for this abstinence, when it is obligatory upon us, is in the month of Ramadan, from the break of dawn until the setting of the sun. The abstinence from food and drink and the other things that invalidate the fast, this abstinence is obligatory during the month of Ramadan, from dawn until sunset. As far as the siyam wal-imtina' wal-imsaq an-muharramat fal-mahalluhu al-umru kullu. But as for fasting and abstinence and holding oneself back from prohibited things, then it's time, the place for this type of fast is the whole of our lifetime. So fasting, abstinence from food and drink and otherwise lawful things during the daylight hours of is only required of us during Ramadan, but the abstinence or the fasting or the holding back from prohibited things is required of us all of the time throughout our lives. So the Shaykh says, Here, it is incumbent upon us, incumbent upon you, أن تجاهد نفسك مجاهدة تامة للصيام عن كل أمر حرمه الله عليك. It is incumbent upon you to make every effort, yani to strive against yourself, your lower self, yani that desires to do those things that are not pleasing to Allah. It is incumbent upon you to make every effort to strive against yourself, to fast, yani to abstain from everything that Allah has prohibited you from. And if you have transgressed the bounds or violated this and fallen into some yani matter, you have fallen short in some matter, meaning you have committed some sinful act or you have failed to observe an obligatory duty, then you can make up for that by a tawbah and inaba and rujoo' ila Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Yani meaning the Shaykh is saying here that is incumbent upon us now, yani during this month of Ramadan, if we are learning how to abstain from that which Allah has prohibited and to fulfill His commands and doing that those things which He have commanded, if we are doing this every day for a whole month during the month of Ramadan, then it's incumbent upon us to continue this after Ramadan. And it is incumbent upon us to strive and struggle and to make every effort to fast or to abstain from the things that Allah has prohibited all the time. And wherever we fall short, and we will fall short, right? Definitely we will fall short. Wherever we fall short, then there's tawbah, and there's inaba, and there's ar-ruju' ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani that a person should repent to Allah with the conditions of repentance that we have mentioned. And a person should begin to do good deeds, yani turn back to Allah by doing good deeds. And return after having abandoned, yani one's obligations to Allah, return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in fulfillment of those things that He has commanded us with. So let us pay attention here to how a person may benefit from the fast of this month of Ramadan in achieving or realizing the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us yani pay attention to this matter. حيث إن المرأة يمتنع عن الأمور المعلوفة له طاعة لله فلماذا لا يمتنع عن الأمور المحرمة التي حرمها الله تعالى عليه في كل وقت وحين. Keeping in mind, and this is really the key, that if a person can abstain from that which Allah يعني has made lawful for us otherwise during the daylight hours of Ramadan, if he can abstain from those things, then how much more so should we be able to abstain from that which Allah has made haram at all times. Here the Shaykh mentions a saying, قَدْ سُئِلَ أَحَدُ السَّلَفِ عَنْ أَقْوَامٍ يَعْبُدُونَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فِي رَمَضَانِ. Yani one of the Salaf, he was asked about a people who worship Allah in the month of Ramadan. وَيُحَافِذُونَ عَلَى الْفَرَائِدِ وَيُحَافِذُونَ عَلَى الْوَاجِبَاتِ فِي رَمَضَانِ. Yani they guard and protect and preserve those things which Allah has made obligatory upon us, and those things which Allah has yani declared to be duties upon us. They guard these things, yani they're performing the prayer, they're reading the Quran, they're abstaining from yani sinful things, and doing all of the obligatory duties during Ramadan. لَكِنَّهُمْ إِذَا خَرَجَ رَمَضَانَ تَخَلُّوا عَنْ يَعْنِي ذَلِكَ وَضَيَّعُوا تَمَامًا. But if Ramadan ends, then they abandon, they give up, they leave these things completely. فَقَالَ بِئْسَ الْقَوْمِ لَا يَعْرِفُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا فِي رَمَضَانِ. Yani he said, evil indeed is the people that do not know Allah except in Ramadan. بِئْسَ الْقَوْمِ الْقَوْمِ. Yani evil is the people that do not know Allah except in Ramadan. Here, I want to make a comment, yani a discussion of this statement briefly from Al-Imam Abdulaziz Ibn Baz rahimahullah. He was asked about this saying about the people yani who only know Allah in Ramadan. Is this a hadith? And the Shaykh says this is a saying of some of the Salaf. Yani it is a statement of one of the Salaf. He was asked about a people that are worshipping and striving in Ramadan, but when Ramadan ends, they leave it. And he said that evil is the people that do not know Allah except in Ramadan. The Shaykh said, وَهَذَا الصَّحِيحِ. This statement is true if إِذَا كَانُوا يُدَيِّعُونَ الْفَرَائِدِ. This statement is true if those people have abandoned the obligatory duties. Yani, pay attention to this. Pay attention to what Al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Ibad is saying. This statement is true. It's true about a people who only know Allah in Ramadan if after Ramadan they have abandoned obligatory duties. أَمَّا إِذَا كَانَ لَا. But if it's not so that they didn't abandon the obligatory duties after Ramadan, إِنَّمَا يَتْرُكُونَ بَعْدُ الْإِجْتِهَادِ. But they have abandoned some of the greater efforts that they were making in Ramadan, and they're not doing those outside of Ramadan, meaning the extra things beyond the obligatory duties, and they didn't يعني strive the same way outside of Ramadan as they did in Ramadan. فَالْقَوْلْ هَذَا مَهُ الصَّحِيحِ. Then this statement is not true about those people. And it's not true about a people who made a great effort in Ramadan, and after Ramadan they continued to fulfill all obligatory duties, but they wasn't doing all those extra things that they were doing in Ramadan. And this is not true about them. This statement is not about them. And I want to say that because sometimes when we hear this statement, and it's a famous saying, sometimes we just think it's applicable to whoever didn't do the same thing after Ramadan as they did in Ramadan. And that's not the meaning of this statement, according to Al-Imam Abdul Aziz Ibn Baz. What is intended here is those who abandoned the obligatory duties. Yani, meaning they were making salat, the obligatory prayers in Ramadan, and then they abandoned salat after Ramadan. Then this is an evil people, because they have fallen into disbelief by doing this, by abandoning the obligatory duties. Tarku salat is kufr, and we ask Allah yani, to protect us from such. As far as those people who abandon some of the mustahibbat, some of the commendable, beloved, praiseworthy acts in other than Ramadan, yani, that they were doing extra in Ramadan and they didn't do it after Ramadan, هَذَا لَا يَدُرُّ. This person is not harmed by that. Because the people in Ramadan are يَجْتَهِدُونَ بِأَنْوَاعَ الْإِبَادَاتِ الْمُسْتَحَبَّةِ. They are striving, doing all types of praiseworthy and commendable extra acts of worship in Ramadan, and extra acts of charity and Ramadan and the like of that. So if they became a little lax, فَإِذَا تَسَاهَلْ فِي ذَلِكَ بَعْدَ خُرُوجِ رَمَضَانِ فِي الْمُسْتَحَبَّاتِ مَا يُقَالُ فِيهِ بِئْسَ الْقَوْمِ. So if the person became a little lax in those extra things that they were doing in Ramadan, yani from the voluntary deeds, after the yani passing of Ramadan, they abandoned some of those things, then it is not said about these people that they are evil people. So there's no doubt that we will not be the same after Ramadan as we are in Ramadan, but the key is what? That at least we maintain the minimum of the obligatory duties that if a person falls short in them, then indeed they are considered to be an evil people. And that being said, we do still want to say that let us hold on to some of what we had in Ramadan, if not all of it, at least some prayers in the night, at least reading the Quran a little bit every day, if not one whole juz or two whole juz, at least continue to read the Quran every day, even if it's just a few pages. Yani fasting once or twice a week or a few days in the month, even if yani we're not going to fast like we did in Ramadan, yani 29 or 30 consecutive days, but keep up some fasting, some charity, some reading Quran, some dhikr and dua, and so on. Some of that should be maintained, and in this way a person will continue to increase their level of at-taqwa and nearness to Allah and the earning of His good pleasure and His reward. After this, the Shaykh says, so it is obligatory upon the Muslim أن يكون مراقبا لله محافظا على طاعته في رمضان وفي غيره. So it is obligatory upon the Muslim to observe, yani to be observant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani always considering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in whatever that we say and whatever that we do. مراقبا لله, meaning that a person is conscious in their life daily, day and night, in public and in private, conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani that Allah is watching, that Allah is listening, that Allah knows what we are saying and what we are doing. مراقبا لله محافظا على طاعته, and trying to guard the acts of obedience in Ramadan and outside of Ramadan. This is obligatory upon the Muslim. And this is the meaning of the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا قُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Oh, you believe fasting is made obligatory upon you as it was made obligatory on those before you, so that you may attain at taqwa. Yani taqwa being what? Al-muraqabah. Yani being conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, paying attention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you, that Allah sees you, that Allah hears what you're saying, and He knows even what we are thinking, our thoughts. Naam. Here he said, this is the meaning of this ayat, that a person, yani in Ramadan, achieve a certain consciousness of Allah that they retain after Ramadan, that they continue, yani based on their iman, they continue to try to do acts of obedience to Allah and to avoid acts of disobedience to Allah, seeking His reward in doing those things that are pleasing to Him, and yani trying to escape from His displeasure and His punishment, yani by abstaining from those things that are acts of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person is seeking to achieve during this blessed month of Ramadan, and during their attempts to protect and preserve the acts of obedience to Allah, we hope to achieve the taqwa of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And for this reason, the month of Ramadan is indeed a fursa. Yani a person is fasting every day. A person is performing the obligatory prayers and extra prayers every day. Yani reading the Quran every day. Engaging in dhikr of Allah and dua extra every day. This is a great opportunity and a precious opportunity to compile, yani to accumulate during this month the provisions of a taqwa. Yani if a person compiles the provisions of a taqwa, yani develops their level of a taqwa, their consciousness of Allah, their fear of Allah, their desire to earn the pleasure of Allah, and their fear of the punishment of Allah. If a person is able to develop this during the month of Ramadan, indeed they have taken advantage of this precious and tremendous opportunity to accumulate the provisions for this journey in this life, the journey to return to our Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us in the Quran, in the second surah, Surah Al-Baqarah, 197th ayat, وَتَزَوَّدُوا, and seek to accumulate provisions for the journey. And this ayah was revealed in reference to Hajj. Yani Allah commanded the people who are leaving their lands, leaving their homes to go to Hajj, that they take provisions with them, so that they don't beg from other people, so that they're not dependent on other people. So Allah commanded the people, when you go to Hajj, you have to carry provisions. That's a command. وَتَزَوَّدُوا. And then Allah says, فَإِنَّ خَيْرُ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. But the best of provisions is not just food and drink, but the best of provisions is a taqwa. وَاتَّقُونِي يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. And observe taqwa of me, O people of understanding. And the Shaykh also mentions the saying of Allah Azza wa Jalla in Surah Al-Hujurat, 49th Surah, 13th Ayat. إِنَّ أَقْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. That the most honored of you with Allah is the one who has the most taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this ayat is indeed a clear indication that the best of people in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani it's based on taqwa, al-iman wa taqwa. So this is an opportunity, a precious opportunity in this blessed month of Ramadan to gather up and to accumulate the provisions of a taqwa. وَأَنَّ تَخَرَّجَ مِنْ مَدْرَسَةِ رمضان من مدرسة رمضان متقين لله تبارك وتعالى متعودين على المحافظة على طاعة الله والقيام بأوامره. يعني this is an opportunity for a person to go through this month, يعني as like a school, and يعني going through this month of Ramadan like a person who's going through school, and that we come out of this school, يعني we graduate from this school of Ramadan as muttaqeen, people who have taqwa of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. People who have been accustomed to protecting and guarding and preserving the acts of obedience to Allah and fulfilling His commands. Indeed, the Shaykh, he says, you will be amazed, with total amazement, absolute amazement, at many of the people. When the month of Ramadan comes, the masjids are full. Na'am. And the people are guarding the salawat. Yani lots of people are coming for Dhuha, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, even Fajr. And then when the month of Ramadan leaves us, the people, they also abandon these things. Or at least most of them. So you find, as sometimes, especially the time of Salatul Fajr, that one line will not even be complete in a masjid. But if you come to the Salatul Fajr in the days of Ramadan, you find that there are two complete lines, or three or more. فَهَلْ هَؤُلَاءِ كَانُوا أَمْوَاتًا وَوُجِدُوا فِي شَهْرِ رَمَضَانِ. Yani where did all of these people come from? Were they dead people? And then they yani were found, brought back to life? Yani were they dead people and who just came to life in Ramadan? أَوْ كَانُوا مُسَافِرِينَ ثُمَّ جَاءُوا فِي شَهْرِ رَمَضَانِ. Or they were travelers, yani who were traveled out of the country, out of the city, and then they came back during the month of Ramadan. Where did all of these people come from? Yani, did you ever ask yourself, yani, all of the people that you see lining up in the Salat for every prayer, even the Fajr prayer in Ramadan, where did these people come from? It's quite amazing that the masjids are empty, especially for Fajr prayer, throughout the year. And then, suddenly in Ramadan, the ranks are full. Sheikh said, this is amazing. People who do not guard or protect or preserve the Salatul Fajr and Jama'ah except in the month of Ramadan. So where are these people? In reference to this, the performance of this worship in all of the other months of the year. And this question, yani, I would redirect the question. Instead of where are they, we might ask ourselves, where are we? In reference to Salatul Fajr or any of the other prayers, or fasting or reading the Quran or dhikr or dua or charity or whatever it is that we find ourselves yani immersed in, engaged in Ramadan, where are we yani in reference to those things during the rest of the year? After this, the Shaykh, he says, so for this reason we say that the month of Ramadan is an opportunity for those whom Allah has honored and favored and to protect and preserve the Salat, and their souls are moved to obedience to Allah and worship, and they have tasted the sweetness of this worship in the month of Ramadan. This is an opportunity that one continue in this same mode for the rest of our lives, so that we will benefit from this blessed month and this blessed season in order to achieve that meaning which is mentioned in this noble ayat, that the fasting was made obligatory upon us and those before us, that we may achieve a taqwa, yani that the people will achieve taqwa of Allah, yani during their performance of these acts of obedience, that they may achieve the taqwa of Allah as they are fulfilling these acts of worship during this blessed season. And that being said, the fast, yani the fast of Ramadan, is like a madrasa tarbawiyya azima mubaraka yatakharraja fiha almu'minuna almuttaqoon. Yani the fasting in this month is like a blessed, magnificent school of cultivation. Anywhere the people of Iman and Taqwa yani study, learn in, and graduate from. Yani when the month of Ramadan is over, it is as though you have gone to school and you have graduated from that school. and you have increased in it during that month in that school, the believers have increased in the greatest provision that will continue along with them throughout their life, during all of their days of their life. Yani, this is what it should be for the believers, for the people of taqwa. However, this madrasa, the school of the month of fasting, لا يستفيد منها كثير من الناس. Many of the people don't benefit from it. إذ تمدي عليهم هذه المدة الشريفة وهم يتعايشون معها تعايش الطالب البليد في مدرسته يتخرج ولا يستفيد. يعني this is the Shaykh, he says, may Allah save us from being from those people. This is yani a school, this month of fasting. Many of the people don't benefit from it. This month, this noble month, this period of time passes by them, and they live with it the way the stupid student performs or lives during his days in school. Yani, the student, the stupid, al-balid, he graduates. He goes to school and he graduates, but he doesn't come out with any benefit. Yani, do we know that there are people who go to school and they graduate from high school and they come out with no benefit? Naam. They just pass them through. And likewise in Ramadan, some people go through the month of fasting Ramadan, wallahi, they come out with no benefit. Many of the people are like this. While the believer, al-mujid, al-haris, yani the one who is diligent and eager, enters this blessed school. فَيَأْخُذُ مِنْهَا دُرُوسًا تَرْبَوِيًّا إِيمَانِيَّ عِلْمِيَّ تَمْدِي مَعَهُ فِي حَيَاتِهِ كُلِّهَا. As far as the believer, he or she enters this blessed school and then takes from it lessons, yani lessons in cultivation, lessons in iman and knowledge that will continue with that person throughout their life. Yani, there are lessons that we can learn during this month if a person pays attention. If we haven't been paying attention, then in these remaining days, pay attention to what we are doing during this fast of Ramadan, during the day and the night. Pay attention. Perhaps we need to write it down, that these are the things that I'm doing. We forget quickly after Ramadan that we were doing these things. It's as though we never did them. Yani, it's like the student who goes to school, sits in the class, listens to the lesson, takes notes, does the exam, pass the exam, but after they graduate from school, they didn't act upon anything that they studied. Huh? We are fasting, we are praying, we are reading Quran, we are remembering Allah, and then after Ramadan, it's as though we didn't do any of that. We forgot it all. But the believer that is serious, that is diligent about this, enters this blessed school and comes out with these lessons of cultivation and iman and knowledge that will remain with that believer for the whole of their life. And the Shaykh said, I will mention an example here from the lessons of Ramadan in addition to what has been mentioned previously. And I'll mention this quickly because the time is short. He said, the one who has been afflicted with the affliction of smoking cigarettes, they are consuming this filthy, harmful matter that contains no benefit whatsoever. You find this person in the month of Ramadan, from the break of dawn until the setting of the sun, abstaining from this smoking completely. Now, maybe not all of them, but many of the people who smoke do not smoke during the daytime during Ramadan. They are distancing themselves from this smoking completely during the daylight hours of Ramadan, even though they were accustomed to smoking the cigarettes a lot outside of Ramadan. However, during Ramadan, during the daylight hours of Ramadan, they abstained from it completely. So in reality, this is the opportunity for such a person to abstain completely from smoking in the rest of their time, of the nights, and in the days after Ramadan. many of the people who have been afflicted with this smoking, if that person is advised, they usually make the excuse that I just can't give it up. But hasn't that person given it up during the whole of the days of the month of Ramadan, of this great month of Ramadan, from the break of dawn until the setting of the sun? Isn't this a lesson for him? يَسْتَفِيدُ فَاِدَ عَظِيمًا. Isn't this a lesson for the person that they could benefit from, a great benefit? أَلَا وَهِيَ أَنَّ فِي إِسْتِطَاعَتِي وَوُصْعِهِ أَنْ يَتْرُكْ هَذَا الدُّخَانَ أَبَدًا وَلَا يَتَعَاطَاهُ مُطْلَقًا. The lesson is what? That indeed, that person is able to give it up. They do have the ability to give up this smoking completely and to never engage in it again. It's possible. That's the lesson. That's one lesson that a person may learn. And we can, yani, take that lesson and apply it to other matters. Not just the people who smoke, but the people who drink, the people who use intoxicants, the people who are engaging in all kinds of haram, whether it's listening to unlawful music or looking at unlawful things on the television, in the movies, pornography, whatever, and so on and so on. To the end of those things that, yani, we have been afflicted with. Yani, if it's not smoking, it's something else. And it's not just for smoking people. If a person has been able to abstain from watching movies during the daytime in Ramadan, why can't we abstain from watching movies completely? And if a person abstains from listening to haram music, and all of it is haram, then why can't we abstain from listening to music during the nights and during the days following Ramadan? Likewise, he said, a person might be amazed at some of the people. Real, complete amazement that they are breaking their fast with smoking. They are fasting from the mubahat, the permissible things, in obedience to Allah. They are abstaining from permissible things in obedience to Allah. So if the muezzin calls the adhan at maghrib, and this is the announcement that a person can break their fast, they break their fast with prohibited things in disobedience to Allah. Yani, they abstain from permissible things to obey Allah, and then they break their fast with haram things in disobedience to Allah. What kind of sense does that make? How does that make any sense at all? And again, that's not just for smoking people, it's for all of us. It's for all of us. To the extent, yani, they break their fast with that which is disobedience to Allah. Some of them, they pray the Maghrib prayer and they harm the people with the filthy, evil, stinking smell of the smoking. To the extent that some of them go so far in pursuing this misguidance that they don't put out their cigarette until they reach the door of the masjid. Yani, they come out of their homes smoking until they reach the door of the masjid. Then they enter the masjid with this evil, foul smell, and they harm the people who came to pray, and they harm the angels in this place of worship and obedience. So this, yani, this person is indeed amazing, right? Yani, the whole day they are fasting from eating and drinking lawful things in obedience to Allah, and then all it is for the muezzin to announce the adhan, and they hasten to that which is haram, acts of disobedience to Allah. Smoking. And indeed, the Shaykh says, smoking is ma'asiyah, it's sinful. Dhamb, it is an act of disobedience to Allah, and it is a sin, and it is ithm, and it is haram. A person will be called to account for smoking cigarettes, and they will be punished for it by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And the evidences of the prohibition of smoking are many. The scholars have laid them out, yani, in detail. And the Shaykh closes this point by saying, the month of Ramadan is indeed an opportunity for the smoker, and for every one of us that has any israf, any wastefulness or taqseer, falling short, or idaa, wasting time, or tafreet, yani, neglect. It is an opportunity for every one of us to benefit from this blessed season. As I said, not just the smokers, whether it's music or movies or TV or YouTube or Facebook or 24/7 telephone calling, texting, computer games, wasting time in nonsense, any addiction to the, what's the sports network? What do they call it? SMP, SPN? Huh? ESPN. Yani, whatever it is. Whatever it is. This is the opportunity for all of us, yani, to benefit, to take advantage of this month of Ramadan, to learn the lessons of abstention, yani, for the pleasure of Allah, because we believe in Allah, yani, to engage in that which is pleasing to Allah and to abstain from that which is displeasing to Allah. And finally, we close with brief comments of the Shaykh on the last point of the 6 points from amongst the important matters. And perhaps, I don't know, next week if we have a chance, we might talk about this topic in detail. The Shaykh just mentioned it at the end in brief. From amongst the important matters that is obligatory for us to pay attention to is giving care and attention to the Book of Allah Jalla wa Ala. And from the special characteristics of the month of Ramadan and those things which distinguish it from the other months is the Quran was revealed in this month, as Allah mentions in the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 185th ayat, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان, that the month of Ramadan is the month in which the Quran was revealed. And in the month of Ramadan, na'am, as a guidance to the people and a clarification or proofs of the guidance and the criterion, yani the criterion between truth and falsehood, between right and wrong, between that which is pleasing to Allah and displeasing to Him. So in this month, the Quran was revealed. And the angel Jibril alayhi salam used to come to the Prophet in this month of Ramadan. يُدَارِسِهُ الْقُرْآنِ, and he used to study with him the Qur'an. فَيُعْرِدُ النَّبِيِّ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةِ وَالسَّلَامِ عَلَيْهِ الْقُرْآنِ وَيَقْرَهُ عَلَيْهِ, so the Prophet ﷺ used to recite the Qur'an to Jibril. Used to recite it to him. فَعَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ أَنْ يَأْتَنِي بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فِي هَذَا الشَّهْرَ الْعَظِيمِ الَّذِي هُوَ شَهْرُ الْقُرْآنِ, so it is incumbent upon the Muslim to give great care to the Book of Allah in this tremendous, magnificent month, which is the month of Qur'an. وَكَانَ بَعْدُ السَّلَفِ إِذَا دَخَلَ شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ تَرَكَ أَكْثَرَ عَمَالِهِ, and some of the Salaf, when the month of Ramadan entered, they used to give up most of their other deeds. وَقَالَ إِنَّمَا هُوَ قِرَاءَةُ الْقُرْآنِ وَإِطْعَامُ الطَّعَامِ, and they used to say, it is only, yani this time is only for reading the Qur'an and feeding, yani giving food to the people. Naam. Yani reading the Quran and feeding the people. And they used to, yani, go forward and get near and engage in the recitation of the Quran. And some of them used to complete the whole Quran in one day. And some of them used to complete the Quran in 3 days. And some of them used to complete the Quran every week. Yani once in a week. And some of them used to complete the Qur'an in 10 days. And from amongst the people, unfortunately, are those who the month of Ramadan comes to and goes out, and they didn't open the Mus'haf except once or twice or three times. Except once or twice or three times. وَلَكِنَّهُ مُقْبِلٌ عَلَى أُمُورِ أُخْرَى يَنظُرْ إِلَيْهَا وَيُشَاهِدُهَا قَدْ اسْتَوَّلَتْ ala qalbihi. But even though some of us have no time to read the Quran, wallahu musta'an, yani we go forward and are completely engaged and immersed in other affairs that we are looking at and that we are witnessing that have taken control over our hearts. Yani some of us spend, and if you're looking at the Quran on your telephone, fine. But some of us are looking at our telephones day and night. We either talking or texting or looking at some nonsense. Because most of what is on there is nonsense. And the Shaykh says, this is just a word that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit us and you by it, and to write it in our scales of good deeds for all of us, and that He make it a proof for us and not against us, meaning that we act upon it and not abandon it. And that He calls us to reach this blessed month, yani to finish the end of it for us now, as we are closing, coming to the end of it, and that He help us, yani me and you, in this fast and in the standing, and that He make our deeds in it, our deeds in this month of Ramadan, and in all of the time, even outside of Ramadan, make them purely, sincerely, khalisan for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in accordance with the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that he rectify for us and for you our worldly affairs. I'm sorry, our deen, that he rectify for us our deen, naam. Because it is, yani, what is the controlling factor in all of our affairs. And that he rectify for us our worldly affairs, which contain our livelihood, and that he rectify for us our hereafter, which contains our place of return, yani our destination in the next life, and that he make for us this life an increase for us in every good, and that he make death for us a rest from every evil. Indeed, he, tabaraka wa ta'ala, is khayru mas'ul, the best one to ask, wa khayru marju', and the best one to have hope in. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And I'd just like to close in the 4 minutes or 3 minutes that remain for a hadith. And I don't know if we would have time, but I have to mention this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's reported by Al-Imam Ahmed, and it's reported in the Sunan of Ibn Majah and Nasa'i and At-Tirmidhi, and I think it's also reported in the Mu'jam of At-Tabarani. And Shaykh Al-Albani said in his checking of Sunan and Nasa'i that it's sahih that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna hadha ash-shahr qad hadarakum," that indeed this month has come to you. وَفِيهِ لَيْلَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ, and in it is a night that is better than 1,000 months. مَنْ حُرِمَهَا فَقَدْ حُرِمَ الْخَيْرَ كُلَّهِ. مَنْ حُرِمَهَا, whoever has been deprived of this night that is better than 1,000 months, فَقَدْ حُرِمَ الْخَيْرَ كُلَّهُ, and this person has been deprived of all good. Yani whoever lost out on this night, the night that came in these last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan, whoever has been deprived of that night, of worshipping Allah in that night, of doing good in that night, then they have been deprived of al-khayr kullahu, of all khayr. وَلَا يُحْرَمُ خَيْرَهَا إِلَّا الْمَحْرُومِ, and nobody is deprived of this khayr, of this one night, except the person that is truly deprived. Person that has been, yani, deprived. Yani, they have no good. They have lost out on all. One of the scholars said, "Na'am." Huwa kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, yes, it is as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. إِذْ لَيْلَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ تَعْدِلُ الْإِبَادَ فِيهَا إِبَادَةَ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. Yani if there is one night, the worship in that night is equal to the worship of 1,000 nights. ثُمَّ لَا يَرْغَبْ فِيهَا وَلَا يَطْلُبُهَا عَبْدٌ. And then there is a person who is not desirous of that night, who is not seeking out that night, هو والله محروم من كل خير وإياذ بالله من ذلك. He said, indeed, by Allah, this person is deprived of every good, and we seek refuge in Allah from such. Yani in these remaining nights, yani last night was the first of the odd nights, and we know that the Prophet ﷺ confirmed for us that Laylatul Qadr is in the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan, and that we should look for it in the odd nights. So indeed, yani a person should do everything that they can to strive and struggle in whatever way possible to at least perform some prayers in that night, yani to read some Quran in that night, to make dhikr and dua in that night, yani to give some charity in that night, whatever of khair, as much of it as possible a person can do, even if they didn't stay up the whole night. Yani the Prophet ﷺ used to stay up the whole night or most of it. But even if a person didn't stay up, at least pray with the Imam until the Imam finishes the Salat. And whoever prays with the Imam until he leaves the Salat will get the reward for praying the whole night. And it is not from the Sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. There is no authentic hadith. And if there is, please bring it to us. We have been asking for it for years. There is no authentic hadith of the Prophet ﷺ ever performing the night prayer in Ramadan or outside of Ramadan at two times. And either he prayed in the beginning of the night or in the middle of the night or in the end of the night. He prayed for one third of the night or half of the night or two thirds of the night. He didn't pray one prayer and then come back and pray another one later in the night. It's not from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanakallahumma hamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.